Finding the best deals this holiday season can be harder than finding a pair of hedge clippers in a field of tea leaves. That's why the easiest thing to do is do your shopping on Amazon.com. This week, get all of the Cyber Monday deals happening right now and save yourself plenty of money and aggravation and help support Rob Has a Podcast in the process. Go to the link robhasawebsite.com/Cyber Monday. That's Amazon's homepage for all the Cyber Monday deals going on, where you'll be able to save lots of money and see all the great gift ideas for everybody that you're purchasing gifts for this holiday season. So do yourself a favor and help support the podcast when you go to robhasawebsite.com/Cyber Monday. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who now knows how to cook you a breakfast of snake and eggs, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Amazing Race podcast. We are live here on a Sunday night talking about the Amazing Race 23, episode number 10. Here we are. It's a podcast doubleheader night tonight on Rob Has a Podcast. And here I am with my Amazing Race partner, the great Jessica Leese.
Always fun to be here, Rob.
Yeah, it's very fun to be here with you. Just the second time we're talking this weekend. Oh my God. Talk about a doubleheader.
Because we usually talk on Sundays, so we usually talk on Mondays. So technically, this is the third time I've talked to you in a week.
Oh my God. Which is probably three more times than any woman wants to speak to me, but I appreciate it.
Oh well.
No comment.
Yeah. I mean, don't exclude Nicole from that.
Oh, believe me, she was very much not excluded from that. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Jess and I are going to talk about the Amazing Race here tonight. It's going to be a somewhat abbreviated conversation on the Amazing Race. What happened was the NFL football, which I love but was very annoying to me today, ended up running a little long between this game with the Chiefs and the Chiefs and the Broncos. Ended up ending at about 7:50, and it pushed everything back an hour. So I have a Walking Dead podcast coming up. That's probably going to start at about 11:15 p.m. Eastern. So we got a lot to do before we get there. So let's jump into this amazing race, Jess. And of course, we are live here. So send us your tweets, hashtag RHAP. Jessica Frey is monitoring all of that on Twitter. Or you could post your comments on our YouTube video. Either click the video if you're watching us live, or if you want to join us later, come to robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Oh my God, it was non-elimination. At the final four.
Yeah. Are you shocked?
No. I mean, how many seasons in a row have they done this, this format?
It's been quite a few. And well, for a long time, it used to be they would do the non-elimination at the final three, which was equally anticlimactic.
Mm-hmm. What would you prefer?
I think they need to mix it up. Like, it can be the final four sometimes. Put it at the final five just to mess with people.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't know why they think. I guess you said last time you feel like the finale can't carry only three teams, but you know, it's a little bit of a, you know, takes a little wind out of the sails of the non-elimination. But whatever, we're not going to dwell on that. We have eggs to talk about. We have snakes to talk about. Where do you want to start? We have makeup and drag queens to talk about. Where do you want to start, Jess? What's the top story?
We should start at the beginning. We should start with the snakes.
Okay, let's start with the snakes. A lot was made about the snakes and the commercials and everything, and you really felt like the teams were going to really, really struggle with trying to eat the cobra. And for the most part, not even Marie had even an ounce of hesitation eating the snake.
Yeah, it was just like, here it is, eat it. They ate it. They've probably had better things in their life, but it wasn't, not the grossest thing we've even seen on The Amazing Race, I think.
I heard it was a little rubbery.
Yeah, well, it looked like the texture was similar to eel. And personally, I think I wouldn't have had a problem with it. Yeah. I like eel.
Yeah, well, eel is very delicious, especially with the eel sauce on sushi. But the snake, it looked like, and there were bones also in the snake. Too many snake bones. Are there bones in a snake?
Of course there are bones in a snake.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought the snake didn't have bones.
Oh, yeah. It's like, they just have like one spine and like lots and lots of ribs.
Ew.
Bones kind of like a fish.
Okay. All right. And what do? You're supposed to eat around the bones, or you can swallow snake bones?
Well, there was a lot of crunching going on. I think they were probably okay to eat. I mean, there's certain kinds of fish you can eat the bones.
Okay, sure. Why not? All right, so all the teams end up eating the snakes. Now, one interesting thing that happened during the snakes was the Afghanimals. And, of course, they were at the center of a lot of the drama tonight because they...
So, as are they always.
Yeah, so they always. So, basically, people didn't know about if Tim and Marie were there. So the Afghanimals showed up first. And so who got there? Was it... who was asking them? Was it Travis and Nicole, or was that Jason and Amy? Were asking.
Travis and Nicole and Jason and Amy kind of showed up within a couple minutes of each other.
Yeah,
and I think Travis and Nicole got there first.
And so they say, "Okay, oh hey, where's Tim and Marie?" And they're like, "Oh, Tim and Marie, they already are done. They finished it already." Now, is there any strategy whatsoever just to lie to the other teams just for the sake of making stuff up?
I couldn't really see it. I think at this point, they're just kind of enjoying messing with people.
I guess so. Is there any strategic benefit to tell teams, like, do teams, like, say, oh, well, we really need to hurry because we're in last place? Like, could you, to make a team think they were in last place, is that better? Or
it seems like that would just light a fire under them.
Yeah.
I could see the benefit in making a team think they were in first place or making a team think they were safe.
Yeah. Yeah. If it was the opposite, if Tim and Marie had actually gone through the challenge already and then and they said, like, oh, they must be lost. I don't know. Take your time. Don't choke on the snake. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's a much better use of that particular lie.
That would have been better. Also, Leo and Jamal thought that the eating the snake might be some sort of natural Viagra.
You know, that's. I think that's a common thing in certain kinds of Eastern medicine. You eat certain animals, and I think the snake is one of them.
Okay, sure. Why not? We'll have to maybe one of these days if we get to do exit interviews with Leo and Jamal or Travis or Jason or Tim. They could tell us exactly if there was any holistic effect of eating the king cobra.
You know, I'm going to tell you right now, Rob. That is not a question I'm asking anybody next weekend.
You know, I have a feeling for the Afghanimals. I think they would be hard pressed to notice a difference. I think
maybe.
All right. So then we had an interesting second challenge on the show tonight. So basically, you had to get a bunch of eggs, and then get on a motorcycle, and then go to hot springs, and then boil the eggs, and then come back on the motorcycle, and then the eggs had to be hard boiled to a certain point. Why did you need to ride a motorcycle with eggs?
Because you needed to be able to hold them so they didn't get broken. Sure. It was just like a steady hand kind of thing. Nobody had any trouble with it. I was waiting for someone to like drop their eggs and get egg all over themselves.
Yeah, nobody dropped an egg at all. I thought some of the eggs were going to like roll out of the basket or something like that. But nobody ever had a problem with breaking any of the eggs. So the challenge was that they had to hard boil the eggs over in the hot springs for a certain amount of time. And this seemed like a very silly thing that everybody decided that they were in such a rush. Okay, we're good enough. I mean, why not? It's not like you can burn the eggs. Why not stand there an extra 10 minutes and wait to see what happens?
Yeah, that really doesn't make a lot of sense. If you're not entirely sure, it's better to overshoot it.
Yeah. You know, maybe one if Leo and Jamal said that Tim and Marie had already gone through the thing and they thought they were in last place, I could understand that more. But then Jamal told them that they weren't in last place.
Yeah, I didn't understand. He's just like, well, yeah, we're just messing with you. Well, stick to your lie or, you know,
yeah,
just don't bring it up.
Yeah. Now, and then we made such a big thing about on the show of Marie doesn't know how to cook hard-boiled eggs. She doesn't know how to boil an egg.
And she's the only one that got it on the first try.
Yeah.
I just want to point that out. Like, all the dudes failed at it the first time, and everyone's like, oh, Marie's a terrible cook. She's not going to get it done. And she got it done. Not only were they done right the first time, they weren't even overcooked. They looked perfect.
Yeah. Did you think it was shady at all that Marie was able to knock it out on the first try? I mean, it seemed like she, at first she's like, hard-boiled eggs. I don't even know how to do this. What do you cook it for, like 3 minutes, like 4 minutes? Like, she's really like talking to her.
Hold it over the boiling
water.
Yeah,
and then she was like holding it in the steam and not even putting it in the water. And somehow she manages to get the eggs perfect at a time when going back a second time would have really screwed them up. Did you think there was anything suspicious there?
I don't think so. I think she just spent a lot of time there.
Yeah.
And even Tim said, he's like, she's been gone a long time. I think that's a good sign.
Okay. That's good. Do you think that Marie helped her cause in finding a future romantic partner in this episode, demonstrating she doesn't wear makeup. She doesn't know how to cook anything. Anything she does cook, she burns. She doesn't want to eat anything except for lettuce. Do you think that Marie has enhanced her dating profile with this episode?
Well, you know, there's a lid for every pot, Rob.
Yeah, especially when you're trying to boil eggs.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, so, yeah, she also said that the hot springs smelled like fart bombs in this episode.
Well, they kind of do. It's the sulfur in the springs.
Yeah. Is that a real thing, the hot springs? Have you ever visited one of those?
Yeah. Yeah, they have them at Yellowstone.
Yeah. Did you boil eggs in them?
No, you're not allowed to boil eggs in a national park.
Why not?
It's something about disrupting the natural beauty.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, there's signs everywhere, no egg boiling.
Yeah. So we had the teams ended up, everybody had to go back. Now, did you feel like also with Tim and Marie, I felt like, you know, the judge of the eggs, like cut the eggs in half and was like sticking his finger in all of them. Then, you know, Marie, when she handed in her eggs, he's like, okay, these are good. I felt like
No, you could tell by looking at them.
Oh, okay.
And you could even hear Tim saying, what color are the yolks? Are they dark yellow? Are they light yellow? And he's like, they're yellow. What's wrong with you?
Okay.
And yeah, they were the right color. I could even tell, like, when he was cutting through them, you could see that there wasn't liquid coming out. I don't know. We cook a lot of eggs in our house.
Okay.
I would have rocked this task.
You would have another task you would have done very well in.
Yes.
This might have been
your
season to go on the race. I think they had all tasks you would have done well in.
Yeah, I clearly have missed out.
All right.
My ship has sailed.
How about this? So Leo and Jamal claimed that Travis and Jason are hypocrites because they told Jamal to tell Marie that it only takes like 5 minutes to boil the eggs. And he said, oh, sure, they want me to lie to Marie. That's fine. But if I lie to Marie on my own, then I'm a bad person. Does Jamal have a point? Are Travis and Jason hypocrites?
You know, there's a segment of the Rob Has a Podcast fan base that is really enjoying this right now, but I agree with the Afghan animals on this one. I think they do have a pretty good point. It's like everyone had a problem with them lying to everyone else until it benefited them directly, and then they didn't have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I think they do have a point to a degree, but probably not that much of a point. I don't want to see the Afghan animals get up on a high horse now.
No, we really... Well, you know, they're the last place in a non-elimination leg. I think they've got a little ways to climb.
Got a little bit to climb.
We can give them this 1 point. They had a rough week otherwise.
Yeah. So then, and then the third challenge here was they had to get ready to, what would you call what they were dressed up as?
In which challenge? They had to dress up as tea workers in one, and they had to dress up as brides in the
other.
Well,
no, not the tea workers. As the what would you call those brides?
I would just call them brides, but they were heavily made up brides.
Okay.
I guess.
And so
it was a little bit drag showy.
Sure. So they had this challenge, which was comical, but I don't know if it was super interesting to watch the teams put makeup on each other.
Yeah, it wasn't really. It was fun to see the end effect, but the process was kind of, yeah.
Who made the best bride out of the three men?
I'm going to have to say Jason.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably down to Amy's experience with applying makeup.
Yeah, he was very. She did a very good job. He was very. He was a very, very beautiful bride.
Yeah, your pageant skills have paid off a lot on this race.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of cool.
What about Travis? How much younger did Travis look as a bride?
He looked, well, as soon as he shaved his face, he looked so much younger. That mm-hmm. was kind of shocking.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the makeup, I don't know if that was the best color palette for him.
Yeah. Let's talk about
this. With some more neutrals.
Yeah. I liked when, who was it Tim or was it Jason that said that Travis looked like Dennis Rodman? I like that. Former,
yeah,
former
great.
Two-time Celebrity Apprentice All-Star Dennis Rodman. So,
also a two-time Celebrity Mole contestant.
Yes, yes. Let's talk about the scandalous relationship between Travis and Nicole. So, is this sort of like a McDreamy and Meredith Grey type relationship that she was like a young resident and Travis was the established doctor? Is that sort of what happened here?
Yeah, that's apparently, I saw a clip about them when they were on whatever that True Stories from the ER show is. Untold Stories from the ER? I don't know. There was a segment about how they met on that. And it was that I think he was the attending when she was a resident there or something like along those lines.
Now, you have a vast array of knowledge. Is that frowned upon?
I'm not sure if it's directly frowned upon. I think in that kind of pressure cooker situation, some strange things are bound to happen. I think there are quite a few doctor hookups just because people that are not in that element don't understand what it's like.
Hmm. Okay. That's very interesting. I mean, now I know why it happened so much on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, I mean, almost everything I know about the medical profession I learned from watching Scrubs, so take that for what it's worth.
Yeah. So, an interesting thing that happened with the Afghanimals. So, they decide they're the only ones that go do the, what do they call that challenge with the tea?
It was...
Tea trimming?
It was paint your partner or something your tea.
Okay. Anyway, so they have to go look for the hedge clippers in the tea leaves. And so they go there and they start doing it. And then they decide, you know what? This challenge sucks. Let's go do the other challenge. And so they go and they leave and they go to the other challenge and then they show up and like, what? Makeup? What? And then we don't even know what this stuff is. We have to shave our beards. Let's go back into the other challenge. Has that ever happened before where a team leaves one challenge, goes and checks out the other challenge, and then returns to the challenge that they originally started without being...
Hoping you'd ask me that, Rob, because it reminded me of something that happened in season 12.
Yes.
There were these two very fratty dudes named Dan and Andrew, and collectively they were known as Dandrew. And I think it was actually the final four where they ran into this task in Russia where one half of the detour was you had to put on a military uniform and march in formation, and they could not march in formation. And they tried and tried and tried, and it looked like the simplest thing. And in fact, we both got up and we did it just to see if it was, there was a trick to it. There's not. And so they quit that one and they went to the other task, and the other task was, I don't even remember what the other task was, and they ended up going back to the marching, and it just kind of, they sort of imploded all over both of these tasks, and I think they might have even switched back and forth more times than that.
Yeah, it was not a good move for the Afghanimals. I thought it was downright cruel when Jamal then was like, oh, I found it. And he's like, psych, just kidding. Like, why would you do that to your own partner?
Yeah, I mean, I see it was kind of the same thing they do to other people. And now they're doing it to each other.
Yeah. Now, was there really just a king cobra in those tea leaves that tried to attack Leo?
No. There was probably some kind of snake in there. I don't think it was.
And then they cut the
3 foot long cobra.
They cut the stock footage of the 3 foot cobra.
Yeah, you know, it's just like on Survivor, you don't have like those insects eating each other right in front of the faces of the survivors. They shoot all that B-roll ahead of time, and then they come back to it.
Yeah, it was also funny with Leo and Jamal when it was Leo and Nicole and Amy. When they were waiting for them to come back with the eggs, and they were asking Leo all the questions about, so Tim and Marie, they already finished this, and then and how fast did they do it? He was pretty funny during that. I'm a big Leo fan.
Yeah, you know, they They were actually kind of funny this week.
Yes.
I didn't mind them that much. I feel like maybe they've quieted down a little bit now that they don't have their alliance, like their main storyline is gone, so they have to just kind of fall back on being themselves. And they've
Right.
also gotten more used to the cameras. I feel like at the beginning they were playing to the cameras quite a bit. And you know who it reminded me of, Rob? It reminded me of you on Survivor Amazon. Like the first couple episodes, you were right in the face of the camera and you're like very rehearsed. And then as time wore on, you kind of forgot the cameras were there.
Yeah. Well, they encourage that. They say, "Okay, give us more. Give us more. Da
Oh,
da
yeah.
dance for us, monkey boy. Tell us more. Tell us more." So yeah, that can happen to people. So how about the great? It was a really interesting cab chase, but that ultimately didn't end up mattering for last place between Travis and Nicole and Tim and Marie. Where did this rank for you in the pantheon of amazing race cab chases?
You know, I don't know that I've really ever compiled a master list of my favorite Amazing Race cab
It
chases,
doesn't have to be
to be
cabs. We'll
perfectly
open it
honest.
up to all automobile chases.
All automobile chases. I don't know. I'm not sure I ever really rank those. I like it. I feel like it happens too often to keep a master list.
But you
But
agree
I
this
do
was a
like
good
it.
one.
Yeah, I do like it when they were. When they can see the other cab out the window, and all of a sudden they feel this press to overtake them.
Yeah.
I like it when it happens a few different times.
Yeah. Does the cab driver ever say, "Hey, look, I'm not gonna, risk crashing my cab to help you win a race?"
I feel like they have done that before, and they've also gone the other way, and I really have to find where this happened because I reference it all too often, but there was one particular cab driver where the racers in the cab said, "You gotta go faster," and the cab driver said, "I can't go any faster without breaking the speed limit. So I'm gonna have to break the speed limit." And then he gunned it. It was great.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to get a ticket just for because I got these idiots in my car with a camera trying to win a race. I'd say, look, go on another cab. That'd
Yeah.
probably be
Like
bad for business.
let someone else ruin their cab for the sake of an American television show.
Right. And then Leo and Jamal bring it in, and they come in Final Four. Did you feel like they were sufficiently faked out by Phil?
No, I feel like Phil wasn't even trying this week.
Yeah, but they seemed down that they were in last place.
Yeah, I think they were down because they were in first place last week. I don't think they thought they were in any kind of danger.
Yeah. All right.
They've
Well.
seen the show before.
All right. Well, let's quickly update our power rankings here with the final four teams. It's the same teams as last week, but I'm gonna think the order is going to be different. Afghanimals, are they now down at the bottom of the power rankings?
Well, they've definitely slipped a couple of notches because they lost their alliance partners and they had a really rough week
'Cause you
this
had them at
week.
number one last week.
I did have them at number one last week. They were racing like pros last week.
All right, let me rephrase the question then. Instead of power rankings, which team after this week's episode do you feel like is ready to go into that next gear and win the Amazing Race?
Well, I'm gonna point out that Tim and Marie said they had about an hour behind everybody else when they caught up to them. They made up an hour of time. And powered through all of the tasks once they got their bearings. I feel like they really don't get shaken up by things that happen to them.
Yeah, but it seems
Like,
like they
it's a.
screw up themselves way too much. Like they're always like going to the wrong place, or they can't find where the clue thing is, or they can't find the mat. Don't you feel like that they seem to never be in the right place? If they could just somehow like get to the right spot without screwing up, they seem to always do fine at the task.
Yeah, well, you know what Uchenna said. He said they had no idea where they were at any point during the race, and they ended up winning their season.
Yeah. That's fair. How about Jason and
I think it
Amy?
matters less than you think.
Do Jason and Amy seem like the team that's starting to peak at the right time? I mean, they hadn't been in first the whole race, and now this week they get in first place for the first time all season. Do you feel like that they are the team that's getting hot at the right time?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're definitely, signs are pointing up for them. I feel like they've kind of drafted for most of the race. They just kind of, they've been in second place almost every leg. They're right up in front all the time. And now they understand that it's getting to the point where you have to come in first now.
Yeah,
and so that's what they did.
They don't ever fight with each other. They seem like they have a pretty good balance of, you know, of everything. They get along good with Travis and Nicole. I feel like if I had to pick a team to win, I mean, I guess I'll stick with my Travis and Nicole because they were my pick from day one. But I feel like if I had a second pick, I'd go Jason and Amy.
Yeah, and I'm sticking with Jason and Amy because they were my pick from day one.
Yes. I recall, but I feel like you said that they were your pick because you thought they were going to win, but that was not your pick of who you were rooting for.
I thought I would be rooting for the Afghanimals.
Yes.
And then I saw them.
Okay. So let's just, before we get to questions, let's just talk about what's in store for next week. How are we doing the Amazing Race podcast next week with the finale?
Well, if you got Monday night free, I'll be back in town. I'm going to the cast party on Sunday night, and I'll be definitely networking, handing out my Rob Has a Website business cards, which are incredibly dorky.
Yes.
Trying to schmooze with people to get them on for next season.
Very good. Good work. So next Monday night, so what do we say, 10:15 p.m. Eastern time, after the finale, Jessica will give us all of her inside scoop from hobnobbing with the Amazing Racers at the Amazing Race 23 finale, whatever they're calling it. It's not TarCon.
It isn't TarCon. It's not really a fan party this year, which is very disappointing, but at least I'll get to, you know, I don't get to hang out with my TarCon buddies, but I get to talk to some of the racers.
But you've made it behind the velvet rope.
Yeah, apparently. I'm sure there are some of them that are not going to want to talk to me.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, we'll hear about it all next Monday night. Okay, so let's jump into, let's bring in Jessica Frey and take some of your questions. So here is Jessica Frey. Jessica F., how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yes, we have some amazing race questions here on a Sunday night.
Yeah, we have a couple.
Yeah, no Jets questions either.
Okay.
We're not taking those tonight. Okay, here we go. First question. Let's go to Zachary Zarnett Klein. He was very excited on Twitter that we were doing a show on Sunday night. I must commend Jess on her cynical pick to win of Jason and Amy. Can she elaborate on why she chose them originally? Yes. Okay. So let's talk about your cynical pick from the preview show, Jessica.
I picked them because they looked like the most boring.
Yes, but
that's
do you?
Why I picked them.
But have you maintained that opinion?
You know, they're not. They're entertaining. I like the bond they have with each other. They're pretty charming. They're not the most exciting team, that is for sure. But I feel better about them than I did at the very beginning.
Yes, they are. They don't fight with each other, and they don't really fight with a lot of the other teams. But they are a very pleasant team to root for.
Yeah, they definitely have surprised me in a good way.
Okay. Let's go. Let's take the next question. This is from Cindy Jansen. Jess, did your mind change on the Afghanimals after these two episodes? I like them more and more every week. So Cindy wants to know, have you too changed your opinion of the Afghanimals?
I haven't changed my opinion. I mean, I feel like I don't have a solid, concrete, unchanging opinion of any of the teams. But you know, on balance, the Afghanimals have tended to annoy me. These last couple of weeks, they've been less objectionable. That is true.
Okay.
I don't know that I would say I like them yet, but, you know, I don't hate them.
And you are warming up to them. So, hypothetically,
gradually,
if you saw them at a future TarCon, you would have a drink with them?
If they'd have a drink with me, I don't know. I've kind of talked a lot of trash about them.
I don't think they hold a grudge. I really don't. I think they seem like,
pretty easygoing.
Easygoing. Yeah. Especially Leo. Okay.
Yeah.
Jenny Pham wants to know, do you think that Leo and Jamal will overcome the speed bump and win the Amazing Race?
Well, anything is possible. We have seen worse teams come from worse positions.
So, but that doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement, Jess.
Not really. I'm sticking with my pick.
Yes. Okay. So
I'm not gonna say any of the teams in the finals have zero chance of winning.
Yeah.
I don't really think it's true, and we've seen before that you can be a pretty mediocre racer and still pull it out at the end.
It's unlikely.
Yeah, unlikely, but you know, not the least likely thing that's ever happened.
Okay. So you're saying there's a chance.
Yes, I'm saying there's a chance.
Okay. Okay, let's do a couple more questions here. Let's see. Jay Frey, do we have any more Amazing Race questions? Here is one from Twitter from at ZachAttack48. He wants to know, Jess, if you could make up any finale memory task, what would it be and why?
Well, you know what I was hoping for this season that I don't think is going to happen, but it would be pretty cool? We had a lot of different musical things. I would like to see an audio memory task. That would be the one I would design. And we've seen enough like bands at pit stops, and we've had enough music tasks this time. I feel like they could pull it out, but you know, they're never that cool.
Yeah. I think that what they should do is that at every pit stop, Phil should wear a different hat. And then they should have to arrange the hats in order of the order Phil wore them.
Yeah, and they could be like special hats from those countries.
Yeah, although this would
like you need them in a sombrero and a fez.
Yeah,
and like the Indonesian tea picking hat, or well, maybe the wig from this week.
Yeah, I think my task is more of a Big Brother challenge. I think that's more likely to be like the final head of household or power of veto.
Yeah, you're not wrong there.
All right, let's do two more questions, and then I have to finish watching The Walking Dead before I talk to Josh Wiggler. Okay, this is a little wordy. This is from Zachary Zarnak-Klein. In recent seasons, it feels like the editing on Amazing Race and Survivor, etc., has become incredibly predictable. Why do you think that's the case? And how can the editors make these shows more exciting to watch, given that we all yada, yada, yada? Okay, so do you feel like the editing has become increasingly predictable on the Amazing Race?
Yeah, I would say so. I think it's just because we've seen so many in a row, and the show is kind of doesn't lend itself to a lot of really tricky editing. And after you see 23 seasons of something, of pretty much anything, you're going to see some patterns.
Yeah, we know how it goes. And specifically, this pertains more to Survivor, but the promo department has become increasingly, loosey-goosey with what they're letting us see and what they're letting us not see. But that's a whole different conversation. So let's do we have one.
I miss the days when they used to inject, fake things into the promos. That was back when they cared.
Try to trick you. All right, let's see. We have one more Amazing Race question. Okay, let's see. And Zach is saying that they had a hat task in the season 17 finale. Is that true, Jess?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know, the finales all kind of blur together after a while. But yeah, I think he might be right about that.
Okay. So let's see.
They were hats on the greeters, though. They weren't hats on Phil. They should be hats on Phil.
Yes, Phil's hat. You have to monitor Phil's headwear throughout the whole season. All right, so I'm not sure if we have any other live questions. Why don't we take this time to, let's wrap up. And then I'm going to come right back in about 15 minutes here, about 11:15, to do the Walking Dead recap. So if you want to hear more from Jessica Lease, of course, you're going to read her blog tomorrow on robiswebsite.com. And you also hear her on the most recent edition of the Survivor podcast.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, Rob. I will do that anytime you want to have me back.
Sure. How has the response been? Have you been hearing from people who listen to you on the podcast?
Yeah. People were really excited about it. I don't know. Maybe it's because I talked too much about Amazing Race. It was nice to hear me say something that was not about that once.
Yeah. Well, I want to know, when are we going to do the Spaceballs podcast?
Oh, that I would do. That would be pretty amazing. Well, you haven't mentioned what holiday movie you're doing a movie cast about.
Oh, you know
that
what?
Could be on the short list.
I don't. I'm just trying to get through the Survivor finale. Let me get through the 15th or 16th of the Survivor finale, and then I'll think more about the holidays and what podcasts are coming up. All right. So check out Jess's blog tomorrow. Follow her on Twitter. She's at Haymaker Hattie. Much like Phil in the final task, HATTIE. And then I am going to be back at 11:15 p.m. Eastern, 8:15 Pacific, give or take a minute there, to talk about The Walking Dead. So, Jess, have a great night.
You too, Rob.
All right.
Good luck.
And for everybody who's not joining me on the next podcast, we will talk to you again soon. And check out our exit interview with Vetus on Monday morning. We're going to talk with Vetus. I, unfortunately, because of a work obligation, I can't get the morning free on Monday morning. So Josh Wigler, who I'm going to talk to in a couple minutes about The Walking Dead, he's going to have the exit interview with Vetus for you guys on Rob's website on Monday afternoon. But for everybody else, you know, just it'll be in the same place. It'll be just like if I did it. Just obviously not nearly as good. just kidding. All right, so we'll talk to you guys in a little bit. Jessica Frey, thank you guys so much, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.